decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host. Good to have you with us here. It's Friday. Yes, indeed, Friday. Weekend is almost upon us. Hope you have some great plans for the weekend. Hope those plans include going to church. If they don't, change your plans right now. Do not forsake to get the gathering together of the saints as some are wont to do. We need to fellowship with one another and strengthen one another, lift each other up and worship together. So get to church. Good to have you with us. Had a fun time last night with the guys over at Striving for Eternity last night's Apologetics Live. Important topic on curating the music that we use in our church services and not using music from certain sources like Bethel and Hillsong and Elevation, where some of their music may be sound, but the churches themselves are heretical, and we should not be promoting them in any way. One of the things that came up, and I go over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com and check out last night's Apologetics Live. Andrew Rappaport, Justin Peters, Pastor Justin, Chris Huff, and myself were chatting about the importance of doctrinally sound music from doctrinally sound sources. And that's just a really good discussion, timely discussion, something that church leaders and especially music leaders need to be aware of. And so I commend that episode to you. Squirrel Chatter is part of the Christian Podcast Community. And I just gave the website, but I'll give it again, ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. Head on over there. There are a lot of great, solid, curated Christian podcasts. You're not going to get any fluff. You're not going to get any doctrinal aberrations. So I would send you that way. And that's all I got to say about that. But that was fun. One thing that I saw yesterday is Dr. Steve Lawson posted a picture taken yesterday in John MacArthur's office of John MacArthur holding in his hand the very first complete Bible of the Legacy Standard Bible. So looks like print run number one may be starting to trickle in. Or this could have been a pre-production sample. I don't think it was. I think this had the look of a production Bible. So hopefully print run number one is starting to make its way into the United States, which means that they might just make their December shipping dates, which would be very nice. I would be excited for that. And before that happens, we should have the electronic version on Accordance and other Bible apps. I know Literal Word, which is a fantastic Bible app, has plans to include the LSB when it's available in the full text. And I'm sure others do as well. But right now it's on Accordance for the New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. But once the whole text comes out, other platforms should be picking it up. So that will be very nice for those of us who are looking forward to the Legacy Standard Bible. Well, we've been talking about education all week, and because this is a topic that's heavy on my heart. I care a great deal about our young people. And it bothers me that they are being misled. They are being deceived. I do believe it's intentional, and I think we'll see that even more today. We've looked at the American education system from its founding and its design, and the fact that it is designed to subvert American values. It is designed to separate the students from the beliefs and values of their parents. And so, like I said, this is intentional. And we looked at Horace Mann on Wednesday, who in the 1800s was one of the first architects of our modern educational system and really the inventor of the American high school, which he called a normal school, and it was for the training of teachers. Now we get into John Dewey. And John Dewey lived from 1859 to 1952, so he had a nice old life, well into his 90s. He grew up in Vermont. He graduated from the University of Vermont in 1879 and then taught high school for 3 years before going back to get his PhD from Johns Hopkins University. He was a psychologist and a philosopher and an educator. But he was also an avowed atheist. He was one of the signers, and I think he may have been one of the drafters, helped draft, and I definitely know he's one of the signers, the first humanist declaration, the Humanist Manifesto. Now, I think they're in their Humanist Manifesto 3 now, and it's been a while since I've looked at any of those. But I did pull up the first one because that's the one that Dewey signed. That was back in 1933. And this is humanism is an atheist religion. As I said on Wednesday, atheism is a religion because it answers the basic religious question, is there a God? And so any answer you come up to is going to be a religious answer. So atheism is religious, but the humanists are avowedly religious. They worship mankind. And here's just the first Humanist Manifesto contained 15 statements. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to hit some highlights here. One of the things that it says is, religious humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created. So they are evolutionists in the material sense, that the universe is self-existing. Humanists believe, just to touch on that, something has to be eternal. Everything can't come from nothing. So you either believe in an eternal God or you believe in an eternal universe. And even the Big Bang people, and this was one of the things that really bugged the evolutionists when the whole Big Bang theory came out, was the Big Bang theory seemed to say that the universe had a beginning. And that conflicted with their entire, the universe is existent. I don't remember if you watched Carl Sagan back in the 80s. If you're my age, you did. He hosted a show on PBS called Cosmos. And he began each episode of Cosmos by saying that the universe, the cosmos, is all that ever is or was or ever will be. Which really, really seemed to blasphemously echo John chapter 1. Or Genesis 1 for that matter. But the universe, even the Big Bang theories, they began to theorize in a cyclical Big Bang, where the universe would explode into being, expand, stop expanding, contract, collapse, back into the original singularity, and then explode again. So I guess if you sped it up really, really fast, the universe would look like a strobe light as it flashes into and out of existence. That way they could maintain their illusion that the universe is self-existing and eternal. But not just the universe, they also look at humanity that way. The first Humanist Manifesto goes on to say, humanism believes that man is a part of nature and that he has emerged as a result of a continuous process. So, of course, they deny the special creation of humanity. Humanity is not created above nature. Humanity is not the only creature made in the image of God and given dominion over the earth. Mankind is just another animal. Boy, you see that everywhere, don't you? They further said that man's religion, says man's religious culture and civilization, as clearly depicted by anthropology and history, are the product of a gradual development. They believe, you know, and we've seen this if you've taken any anthropology classes, which was my minor in college, that mankind evolved from a kind of pantheistic naturalism, you know, that every bush, tree, and rock has its own spirit. And then that developed into a polytheism where you had gods of the different aspects of nature. So you'd have the god of war, you'd have the god of weather, you'd have the god of whatever. And we see that in like Greek mythology. And then that gradually became more developed until you finally ended up with monotheism, where you just had the belief that one god created everything. That's not the way religion happened. Believing the Bible, we know that we all started, or humanity started, monotheistic. All of the other religions are corruptions and idolatrous self-worship of man instead of the worship of the Creator God. But humanism believes that man's religion simply developed over time as people were trying to figure out how the universe worked, and that pre-science they had to have supernatural forces. But now that we're science, now that we have science, we don't need supernatural forces. They again assert, this is another quote from the Humanist Manifesto, humanism asserts that the nature of the universe depicted by modern science makes unacceptable any supernatural or cosmic guarantees of human values. So, I guess scientific observation and experimentation has proven that there is no supernatural. And then the 14th point, and I want to read this one in its entirety because it's fairly significant to our topic, which is education. This is the 14th point of the First Humanist Manifesto. The humanists are firmly convinced that existing acquisitive and profit-motivated society has shown itself to be inadequate, and that a radical change in methods, controls, and motives must be instituted. A socialized and cooperative economic order must be established to the end that the equitable distribution of the means of life be possible. The goal of humanism is a free and universal society in which people voluntarily and intelligently cooperate for the common good. Humanists demand a shared life in a shared world. Humanists or socialists? John Dewey reflected this. This is a quote from him. He says, in a world that has so largely engaged in a mad and awful and brutal harsh race for material gain by means of ruthless competition, it behooves the school to make ceaseless and intelligently organized effort to develop above all else the will for cooperation and the spirit which sees in every other individual one who has an equal right to share in the cultural and material fruits of collective human invention, industry, skill, and knowledge. It behooves education to teach children to be socialists. This is the architect of the American education system. And he's recognized as the architect of the American educational system by the educators. We're not just finding a guy we don't like and assigning this role to him. If you go to any school of education, you'll realize that this is what they teach. That Dewey was the architect of our education system, and he is a socialist. And he designed the school system to teach socialism. He was also a moral relativist. He didn't believe in an absolute right or wrong. Here's another quote. Dewey writes, there is no God and there is no soul. There's his atheism again popping up. I continue. Hence, There is no need for the props of traditional religion. With dogma and creed excluded, then immutable truth is dead and buried. There is no room for fixed and natural law or permanent moral absolutes. Moral relativism. Your morals depend on who you are, where you are, and what time it is, and mostly what you want to do. So morals are relative. I can justify whatever I want to do. And if morals are relative, you can't tell me it's wrong. Why is this important? Well, it's important because it corrupts the morals of our youth to teach them that there are no absolute right and wrong. It also completely denies the fact that God is the source of our morals. Lying is wrong because God is true. Stealing is wrong because God is faithful. Adultery is wrong because God is faithful. So the nature of right and wrong is entirely collected in the person and nature of God. Right and wrong are a reflection of God himself. And if we have a world where there is no right and wrong, the only way we can have that is to have a world that is without a God. And that was Dewey's point. Now, like I said, I'm not doing a biography of these guys, so I'm not going to get into all the minutiae of his life and even everything that he taught. But the point of this is that America's public school system is designed from the top down to train up atheists and socialists. Now, have you ever noticed that they keep improving education? There's all sorts of, every year, I mean, you know, we've had just, gosh, going back to, what were the last three? We had the No Child Left Behind. We've had all these education acts they keep coming out with to change and improve our education system. Yet the results are going the other way. What's the antithesis of improvement? Deterioration? Diminishment? Decay? Our school systems are not getting better. Our schools are not getting better. They're getting worse. And they're getting far more expensive as they're getting worse. And there have been studies and studies and studies about how America spends proportionally much more per student than a lot of other nations, where the other nations actually have better education. So it's not the amount of money that we're spending. It's what we're doing and not doing with that money. And so our school system is very expensive and very ineffective. We're not educating our kids. We're indoctrinating them. And it's sad and it's scary and it's dangerous to our society. And it's taken a long time for these efforts to work. They started by training the teachers in the college and teaching the teachers this stuff. And it's been a slow process as it's advanced in the schools. And it's been a slow, deliberate process, but it's kind of like a glacial pace where it's sweeping everything before it, but it's taking a really, really long time to do it. And it's taking such a long time to do it because the American people of previous generations were resistant to it. They couldn't do this in one fell swoop without running into resistance. I think the Biden administration is trying to, in one fell swoop, implement this final socialist agenda that the left has had for a long time. But even there, they're realizing they can't change things that fast, and they're running into a lot of resistance. And I think the next two elections are going to be a big setback for the left. That is my prayer and my hope, anyway, if they are indeed fair and free elections, and that's a completely other topic. So it's taken a long time for the efforts of the atheist socialists to pay off, but they're starting to pay off. Just look at the approval for socialist economics that is found in the different age groups in American society. These are 2019 Gallup poll results. The baby boomer generation, which is age 55 and older, approves of socialism 32%. So about a third. 68% approve of capitalism. Not sure what the other 1% approve of. But the boomers, my age group, and depending on where you put the line, I'm either the youngest of the boomers or the oldest of the Gen Xers. I kind of count myself in as a boomer because wouldn't both my older sisters would be boomers and I would be in their generation. Although I do recognize there are some differences between their growing up in the late 70s and me coming of age in the late 70s and me coming of age in the early 80s, that there were cultural differences. So maybe I am the youngest of the Gen Xers, or oldest of the Gen Xers, but I tend to think of myself as the younger boomer. But the Gen Xers, which is age 40 to 54, is in favor of socialism. They said 39% are in favor of socialism. 61% are in favor of capitalism. There's no missing 1% there. The millennials, which are the 18 to 39-year-olds, they're split 50-50. 49% approve of socialism, 51% approve of capitalism. This is going to have profound effects in our coming elections because the boomers are dying off. The next generation has almost as strong a support for capitalism, but the upcoming generations, you know, right now it's 50-50. I would be real interested to see what it is in the middle and high school age group right now. I haven't seen any surveys about what they believe economically, but I would not be surprised to see them much more in favor of socialism. I mean, just look at the traction that Bernie Sanders has gotten in the last two presidential elections. He never, there's no way an avowed socialist would have gotten anywhere near the support that he's gotten just 15, 20 years ago. Yeah, could you imagine Bernie Sanders running against Ronald Reagan? I mean, that would increase Ronald Reagan's landslide, which was already amazing, by greater proportions. All right, so next week, I want to look at some comparison of the results of public schools versus homeschools. And just because I think it's objective, the data is there, which is absolutely conclusive, that there are better ways to educate our kids. And school systems could be adopting this stuff. Yet, they're not. And homeschool kids are outperforming public school kids by leaps and bounds. And there's a reason. They're getting better education. And because the public schools are designed for indoctrination, not education. But the possibilities are out there, and hopefully if the Lord tarries and if he shows mercy on us and we don't end up in a complete and total societal collapse, which is a very likely result right now, we might be able to recover our schools. And so I look forward to something like that in the near future. But next week, we'll talk more about education. Probably won't keep it going much longer, but I definitely wanted to talk about it because it's an important topic. All right. Well, we are continuing to read through the New Testament in the Legacy Standard Bible. Today, we're going to be finishing 1 John and then reading 2 John. Monday, we'll be doing 3 John and Jude. And then on Tuesday, we'll be starting into the Gospel of Matthew, which I'm looking forward to. And Matthew is probably, of the four Gospels, I would have to say Matthew is probably my favorite. And it would be a hard press to put a reason why, but I like Matthew. So we'll be reading Matthew starting Tuesday of next week. So let's begin, as is our wont, with our prayer. Prayer for our leaders, prayer for our own hearts as we confess our sins, and then a prayer for our reading of the scriptures. O Lord, our governor, whose glory fills all the world, we commend this nation to your merciful care, that we may be guided by your providence and dwell secure in your peace. Grant to the President of the United States, the governors of each of the 50 states, and to all in authority, wisdom and strength to know and to do your will. Fill them with the love of truth and righteousness, and make them continually mindful of their calling to serve this people in reverent obedience to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, again reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the one who gives new birth loves also the one who has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and do his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everything that has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the overcoming that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. It is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that bear witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three are in agreement. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For the witness of God is this, that he has borne witness about his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has this witness in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the witness which God has borne witness about his Son. And the witness is this, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Spirit has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have that life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make request for this. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. We know that no one who has been born of God sins, but he who was begotten of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come, and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. 2 John, verse 1. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth. For the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever, grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we received commandment from the Father. Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. See to yourself that you do not lose what we accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house, and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Though I have many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, so that your joy may be made complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. This is the word of the Lord. Well, thank you again for being with us. As I said, it is Friday, so have a great weekend. Don't do the things you ought not to do. Do the things you ought to do. And whatever you do, do it under the glory of the Lord. And we'll see you again next week. God bless. Don't forget to go to church.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster. The Arboreal Rodent Network has reached the end of our podcast day. ARN is owned and operated by Squirrel, and podcasts in the public interest under the authority of the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America. Our business offices are located in the piney woods of western Montana, and you can reach ARN by email at squirrelchatter@protonmail.com. Our podcasts are provided free of charge for the private use of our listeners, and you are welcome and encouraged to copy and distribute these recordings, provided that you do so free of charge and do not edit the content in any way. ARN will return soon with another episode of Squirrel Chatter.